Ron.
Yeah. Okay, no problem. Okay, Ken, you're the chair, so I'll let you start the meeting.
Who?
Yeah, Ken. Ken,
I'm the chair?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought Mansour was the chair.
Well, Mansour is not on at the moment, so...
Okay, I'll be the chair pro tem. I don't think I was ever voted the chair. I wasn't even at the last meeting. But okay, let me just pull up. Okay, this is Ken Aaron, and today is the... what is today?
The 19th.
And this is the Pacific National Board Governance Meeting. And could the secretary... I'm calling the meeting to order. Could the secretary please do a roll call?
Okay, so Ken Aaron?
Here.
Is here. Matt Anderson? Not here. Elaine Duncan, she said that she cannot make it tonight. Anthony Fess?
Here.
Okay, Anthony Fess is here. Ron McGonagall? Okay. William Heerwagen?
Present.
Okay, William is here. And Lothar? Madam President. Barbara? Barbara? Hey, Barbara? Okay, I'll get back to you. Yeah, Barbara is on. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No problem. TK McCary? Not on. Michael Ochoa? Michael?
Here.
Okay, Ochoa is here. Mansour Sabah? He's not on at the moment. Tanaka is on. Mosquito?
Present.
Okay, Mosquito is on. Don Williams?
Here.
Don Williams is here. And Ruth Wolf?
Here.
Okay, Bruce Wolf is here. All right. So we have nine people. Okay, Ken.
Okay, so we have nine people. That's quorum. Were there any... Well, first, anybody willing to be a timekeeper?
I'll do the thing for items.
I'm sorry, who was that? Was that...
This is Aki. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll do the items.
Okay. All right, so any excused absences that were requested?
Just, I have Elaine Duncan.
Okay, is there any objection to providing that person with an excused absence?
No battery.
No objection.
Okay. That's my computer in the background. It talks to me sometimes. Okay, so the no objection, the absences are excused. And the agenda, I can read it off, but what's remaining on it is approve the agenda, minutes approval, set time for next meeting, and discussion of the bylaws changes. And then we would end the meeting, I would say, at, I'm going to say we'll end the meeting at 8 o'clock. Well, 8 o'clock, that's
no.
Not time. That's way too late. How about 7:30?
No.
Okay, anybody got a suggestion for when to end the meeting?
7:30 sounds good to me.
Okay. Anybody object to 7:30? Okay, not hearing any objection. The meeting will adjourn at 7:30. So now we're going to go to, I just read the agenda. Now let's see if we can approve the, is there any objection to the agenda?
There's William here. Information. Michael, point of information.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
At the last meeting. It's Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
At the last meeting, I expressed some concerns about the CAD and communication from the PNB to the LSBs. I was wondering if Anki had any information to tell us so we could put it on the agenda if he does.
Well, okay, that's a good point of information. Aki, please respond.
Yeah, I put in the minutes that because Michael's concern is legit, that I'll talk to Bill Kozier, who's the ED, that when he does the managers meeting, that everything that is passed by the LSB, which is germane to the conveying to general manager, be conveyed at the managers meeting. And all the PNB resolutions, which is relevant to the LSBs, by the secretary, would convey the resolution to the district of LSB. So once that's in place, there shouldn't be any miscommunication anyway from the PNB to the GM and LSB.
And the cab, any information about that? Or
which one?
The CAB, the Community Advisory Boards?
Oh, the CAB. I have not worked on. I was supposed to convey the information about the CAB, and I have not done that yet. That is, I have not done that yet. Thank you.
Okay, I'm all set. Thanks.
Okay,
William Hairwagon.
Pardon me, who is that?
William
Hairwagon, in addition to the. Oh, William Hairwagon. Please note, Secretary, please note that William Hairwagon is present. Did you want to talk about the agenda, William?
Yeah, I want to add to the agenda an item for attendance regarding removals from the committee based on attendance.
Okay, any objection to adding an item concerning attendance on committees? Okay, where we put that? We'll put that... right as first new business, because the rest is a discussion on bylaws. So this is
okay. So after four then, and before five.
Okay. Yeah, that would be number five. I would like to say, following up what Mr. Ochoa said, that according to your response, Aki, Bill is going to relay to the managers any motions that were approved by the PNB so that the general managers can implement them with the station or other, whatever the motions pertain to. Right?
Exactly, right.
How do we know that that's been accomplished? In other words, he's supposed to do that, and what if he doesn't, or what if he misses a motion? How is that supposed to be regulated?
Good question. I got to have some kind of a feedback mechanism.
I don't want to discuss that now, but I'd like to add that to the agenda right after discussion of attendance in committee meetings. How do we... That would be confirmation of ED notifying GMs about approved resolutions.
Okay, so that'll be number six. Okay,
great. Anything else about the agenda? Does anybody object to that? Okay, anything else on the agenda? Okay, anybody object to the agenda the way it is? Okay, the agenda has been approved. So the next thing we do is set the time for the next meeting. Anybody got a
minutes approved?
We have to do minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's correct. That's right. I take that back. Let's go through the minutes approval. They were distributed.
Okay.
Is there any objection to being the minutes as approved, as submitted?
I object.
Okay. And what is... who's speaking,
by the way? I was present, and I'm not included in the minutes. I was on the call on the 5th.
Oh, and you're not listed in the minutes.
Okay.
Who's speaking?
This is Barbara.
Who is speaking? Barbara. Okay.
Oh, Barbara. Okay. All right. Let me just go back to that. Hang on. All right. Let's see.
Barbara Marbeck.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay, with that correction, is there any objection to approving the minutes as corrected?
Yeah, William Hairwagon.
Go ahead, William.
Okay, I think anytime something is approved or decided in some way, it should be indicated how it was approved, was it without objection or a vote, or if something is decided, who said it, and that's all missing.
What, okay, I don't understand how that relates to approving the agenda.
Well, no, minutes. This is the minutes.
Oh, I thought we were on minutes.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That relates to approving the minutes. You don't like Okay, you're objecting to the fact that the minutes indicate the result of the vote in detail.
Okay.
Something like that should be in there.
Okay, William, you're right. We didn't take individual minutes at that meeting, so everything that was approved was by unanimous consent. So I'll know,
but you need to put that on each item.
Yes, I do. I will add that. Yeah, I thought that by not putting it was assumed, but yeah, I will put that. There was no individual vote.
Okay. All right, so Aki, could you please explain how you're going to change your minutes, what you understand by Mr. Bierwagen's request?
Well, for instance, in adjournment, it says adjournment approved by unanimous consent. I'll add by unanimous consent. I'll add those words. Also for the agenda approval and the minutes approval. They both were approved by unanimous consent. So those three items.
Okay. All right. Does that satisfy your request, Mr. Bierwagen? Mr. Bierwagen? William?
There's nobody by that name on the call. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm not that familiar with the names. So, William, how do you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry. I apologize. William?
Maybe he dropped off.
Every time I get on, I say my name, William Hairwagon.
Okay.
Fine. Thank you.
The way Aki described his changing the minutes, does that satisfy your request?
I answered that before you started talking. Just listen a little. I answered that already.
Could you please repeat the answer? All right.
What I said.
We're just going to go to, is there any objection to approving the minutes as corrected?
This is William Hairwagon. I said before you started again that the minutes were fine. So I answered your question, and you've asked it two or three times, but I answered it already.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving the minutes as corrected? Okay, hearing no objection, the minutes are approved as corrected. And now we have new agenda, so the next thing we do is set the time for the next meeting, which, if it's going to be in a month, would be...
The 17th.
17th November.
October 17th.
October 17th?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? November? Pardon me.
Hello?
October 17th at...
wait a minute.
West Coast, 8:30 East Coast.
Hello?
Let's get any comments on setting the next meeting. Anybody want to take the floor on that?
Mosquito was calling.
I keep saying it. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Just hear your name.
Are we changing the pattern? I mean, we were meeting on the first Tuesday of the month, and that's what I have in my book, the first Tuesday of the month. So now why are we changing it all of a sudden to the middle of the month? What's wrong with the first Tuesday, which would be October 3rd? What's wrong with that?
What's, pardon me, who's speaking?
is Marcy La.
Okay. What? Okay. That's a question. Anybody else want to forward on that? That's an objection to meeting today, which is.
It's an objection to meeting in the middle of October. I would like to meet at the beginning of the month, if at all possible. That's what we've been doing, the first Tuesday of the month. Why is there a change?
Why did we meet today, then?
I have no idea, but I'd like to go back to a pattern and preferably meeting at the beginning of the month.
Well, the reason why that we suggested the 17th is that on Tuesday the 3rd, there's KPFT Outreach, KPFT Development, WPFW Finance Committee meeting. So, anyway, I think that's one reason, but, you know, one option is to just sort of, you know, have a governance in, on top of all those. Only reason 17th was picked was because it was a Tuesday, first free Tuesday, because the 10th is the Finance Committee.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Anybody can look this up on kpftx.org.
So I need to. We want to vote on this systematic day to meet monthly. Other than, do we just want to skip this?
Are we going to meet this? Let's make a pattern of some kind instead of just arbitrarily voicing a date. That's the third Wednesday, Tuesday of the month. Is that what we will do from now on?
Michael, for the sec.
This is Ken, just to inform everybody. Looking at the calendar on KPFTX, the third Tuesday of the month is free for the rest of this year.
Okay, so why don't we make it a... What do you put that as?
Everyone else from the other stations. Mm-hmm. There are no other meetings on the third Tuesday of the month? Is that what
you're
saying?
Not that are posted. None posted.
Okay, so why don't we do that?
Is that the same?
Yeah, it's free on all those December, November, October. Third Wednesday is open.
Okay, so now, from now on, we will be meeting the third Tuesday of the month. Is that correct?
Yeah, first Tuesday, right, yeah.
Third Tuesday?
No.
The third Tuesday.
Third Tuesday of the month?
Michael, right. Is that?
That's correct. Okay, at the same time.
And Michael's on the stack.
Okay, Michael. Oh, wait, anybody else on the stack? Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I have no objections to a set schedule. I just wanted to remind everyone that we were just trying to get going on the bylaws change process, and so that's why we had a meeting. We scheduled a meeting for today. So I just wanted to remind people of that. If the scheduling is an issue, then you know we need to decide whether to just have a set pattern or plan out meetings that are not in that pattern. Plan it out.
Barbara for the stack.
Okay, Barbara, hold on to wait till Michael's finished. Go ahead, Michael.
So, yeah, I just wanted to remind people why we're meeting today, because the idea was to move forward with the bylaws change process. And so if we have a set meeting schedule of once a month, that's fine, but it may impact our ability to move bylaws changes proposals along.
Okay, Barbara.
I think that's a great point, Michael, but I also think having something very systematic is certainly helpful for my calendar, but maybe for the bylaws piece, we could do like a work committee or work group that where folks can be available to meet more often, and then that way we can move the process forward.
Go ahead. I mean,
okay. Parquet to the set. Okay, go ahead.
I think that I agree with both Mascular and that. Well, I'll set those fixed times, and I also agree with Michael and Barbara that since there is an urgency in getting the vitals worked out, that we should have a small group of people that would, discuss among themselves. So we can get to that when we get to the discussion down the line. We can structure, how those discussions can be held. So initially, I'll put the third Tuesday first, and then we can discuss the shorter term one as at the time. Okay.
Thank you, back to the stack.
Okay, who's that last one?
Why are you?
Okay. Go ahead. You're next.
Yes. What I'd like to say is that there should be no rush to changing the bylaws. This should be thought out. It should be held in this really should be held in high regard, and we should spend the kind of quality time doing this. The bylaws have been in effect, well, the latest, of course, in January, I think, 2016, the latest change. But in terms of overhauling bylaws that have been in place for so long, we really need to take time, quality time, doing it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on the stack regarding the setting of the meeting?
And a small discussion group is not preferable. This needs to be discussed by the entire committee, and we don't need any small discussion groups to pull us away from where we need to go.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you. I just want to set the next meeting. Let's set the next meeting.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the 17th, right?
Are you saying that we're finished discussing the dates and the times and all of that for the bylaw changes? Are you saying we're finished with that?
All right. One second. We're setting the meetings for this committee, which is the governance committee meetings. So we're setting what we're addressing right now is that the next meeting will be October 17th. And we're going to do the same thing, the third Tuesday of November, the third Tuesday of December.
October.
Okay, that's the issue that we're discussing.
Okay.
That's apart from having any other meetings or having to change it because of a holiday or anything. It's an intention to have a meeting on the third Tuesday of October, November, December.
And
so is there any other comments or discussion on that?
Mascula, again, I was just voicing my opinion of having too many meetings and small meetings and all of those things that you mentioned earlier, okay?
Okay, well, thank you. So on the next three meetings, on having meetings on the third Tuesday of the month in October, November, and December, that's what's on the floor. Does anybody object to that? Okay, so the meetings, the second, we've set the meetings, the intended dates of the meetings of the next three meetings of this committee. And that's always subject to change and stuff, and that's fine. So now let's move ahead on the agenda. And the next thing we have is William's motion or discussion of
Aaron, attendance
in committees.
Ken, can you hear me? This is my
Yes, go ahead.
November 21st. Is 2 days before Thanksgiving. So
yeah. It's always going to be something.
That's the third Tuesday, and the Wednesday is the 23rd is Thanksgiving. So that's something that we really need to think about. Okay? And the third Wednesday of December is the 20th. That's not so bad. But the third Wednesday of November is November 21st, which is Thanksgiving. Just wanted to add that.
Okay. Thank you. So are we okay on those dates? Is there any objection to intending to have the meetings?
This is going to be... Now I lost it already. It's not... Today is...
The 19th.
Not talking about the third Wednesday. We're talking about the third Tuesday.
So it's the 17th, the 21st, the 17th of October, the 21st of November, and the 19th of December. Thanksgiving is, I'm not sure when that is. Let's see. Thanksgiving is in November, and it's on the 23rd. So this is it would be the 21st. So it's 2 days before Thanksgiving, and I won't make any jokes with this group here. I'll say, turn off my board drill act. So that's the dates we're looking at. 17th October, 21st November, 19th of December. So is there any objection to those dates being set as the tentative dates? Okay. So now let's go to Williams.
Hello? Hello.
Hello. Is there further discussion on setting the dates?
I do object to November date. November 21st.
Okay. Okay. You can, by the way, just a point of information, you can ask for an excused absence if you're unable to attend. We can't accommodate everybody for everything. So if there's a reason why you feel the group can't meet at that date, that's fine.
Michael for the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
We're supposed to be discussing the date of the next meeting, so I propose that we just set the next meeting for October 17th and worry about the rest of the year at the next meeting.
Okay. The only issue is to secure the time of the meeting in a regular schedule is advantageous. It's really recommended.
An objection to November 21st and maybe an objection to December. So let's just set the next date, the next meeting date, and move on.
Okay. Anybody else? We can, just a point of information, we can vote on these dates. We don't have to have consensus. So I think we should have a vote, I say the motion on right now, the way it's developing, is the third Tuesday of each month for October, November, December. And we should vote on it.
Okay, let's take a vote. So can I?
Yes.
Okay, can I? Yes. Anthony Fest?
Yes.
What's that? Okay, Anthony Fest is yes. All right. William, the 11th?
No.
Okay, William is no. Hang on a sec. William is no. Okay. Baba?
Yes.
Okay, Baba is yes. All right. Michael Ochoa?
Yes.
Michael Ochoa is yes. All right. And, I think Tanaka is yes. Muscular?
No.
Yeah, Muscular is no. All right. Don Williams?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Williams is yes. Lewis Wolf?
No.
Lewis Wolf is no. All right. Let's see. So it's 6 yes and 3 no.
Okay, so that's a pass.
Yes.
All right, let's move forward to the next item on the agenda, and that is William's discussion of attendance on committee meetings. William, can you tell us what's on your mind?
Yes, there's
procedures that have been approved for all committees that if you miss two meetings, that the chair or the secretary should notify the LSB, the PNB, and the person that's been absent twice that if they miss one more, they're going to be off the committee. And I think that should be reviewed and in process.
Okay, so are you making a motion? I'm not really following what you're saying. Could you repeat it? I didn't get that. If a person misses three consecutive meetings, they're off the committee, and you're objecting to that.
No, I'm saying that we should implement the procedure as established and approved in prior years for the whole Pacifica, not just this committee, that committee absences are handled that way. If a person misses two meetings in a row, they get notified.
Okay, so you're making a motion then.
I'm not making a motion. I'm saying we should execute the processes that have already been established.
Okay, but you're saying it's not established, it's a tradition.
No, it's established. Not, it's a rule. It's used by other committees.
What's the policy?
Committees should do the same thing.
Is there a policy?
There is a policy. There are approved motions that is probably within the last 2 or 3 years. And I suggest that everybody should follow the rules.
Well,
Aki, just to the sec.
Okay, Aki and anybody else? Okay, just before we go on, can you provide that policy?
I don't think I should have to provide the policy. You all should know it. And it was used already this year. Or maybe it was late last year that one of our members missed a couple of meetings. Then he showed up for a third meeting and then started missing meetings again. So, no, I'm not going to provide it to you. You find it yourself.
Okay, Aki.
Okay, so, William, this is what I'll do. Since, you know, not only people forget these policies like this, that in the after this meeting, I will notify everybody before the next meeting what their attendance record is, and I'll remind them of the policy that you just mentioned. So if they continue to choose, even though they're notified, then I think that we can implement that. So let me sort of remind everybody of the policy. So that, they are aware that they are in this.
Okay.
And I also try to get the policy, too. I'll try to get the wording of the policy.
Okay. Anybody else on the stack in regards to this? Nope. Okay, so there's nothing on the floor here to do, so Aki's going to notify everybody.
What is what?
There was no action requested other than notifying people, and Aki's going to do that. Correct? Am I wrong?
Yes. I'll also check the records to see where everybody's at. I'll have a tally sheet of where they are. How many they had missed and all that.
So how do we?
Wait a minute. Please be recognized before you start speaking. Who's asked to be recognized there?
This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
So I understand informally there's that process too. I guess what the issue is, what is the actual implementation when we've confirmed that this person has missed three meetings? Is it a we meet as a board and or the committee meets and officially votes them off? What exactly is the process? Or are they just notified since you've missed three you're out of here. Is that clearly articulated? Nobody knows?
Yeah, I know. I think the thing, this is Ken. I mean, I'm chairing a meeting, but we can look up in the bylaws and see exactly what it says.
Okay.
And it doesn't require just you're off. If you have three unexcused absences, you're no longer part of the body. I'm paraphrasing the bylaws, but maybe I can find them fast.
Okay, well, we'll be looking at bylaws later, right?
Okay. I'll look them up later. Oh, wait, there we go. Which one, the big one? Okay, absence.
Let me see this.
Okay, failure of a delegate to attend three consecutive local station board meetings, which absences have not been excused by a majority vote of the LSB members presented at the meetings in question. That is under removal of delegates. Any delegate shall be removed from the position of delegate and cease to be a delegate upon the occurrence of any of the following. And that's death, any disqualifying act like being appointed to an elected political position, failure to attend three meetings without an excuse, fair and reasonable determination. There's other ways you can be excused of that you lose your position. It doesn't require any further action in this case. If you miss the third meeting that you miss, you're off the committee immediately if it's an unexcused absence. That's for the delegates. We're inferring that it applies to committees. I don't know that it bylaws have that for committees. That's
okay.
It's article. Let me just give you the reference. It's a big article. Where the hell is this? Jesus Christ. In section, right in the beginning. Article 4. And it's section 9, removal of delegates.
This is William for the SAC.
Okay, William. Ed. Go ahead, William.
Okay, no, it's not that that doesn't apply to our committees. There's a standing rule that was passed by the PMB that is and gives procedures on how people are notified and who notifies them and how much time is involved. The separate standing rule, it's not that bylaw. Thank you.
Okay, so that's, I think, it'll really clarify things once we get that in writing.
Okay, so let's go to item 6.
That's all the bylaws has. Okay, so is there any further discussion on this? Aki has already said he's going to notify everybody on this committee about their record of attendance. He's going to try to find that motion. And William, you said you would try to find it too. Okay?
Okay.
All right, let's move on to the next item on the agenda. Could you read that off, Aki?
This is yours, Ken. You added something about...
Right, my motion, which was that we should have a method of recording or being notified that the general managers were informed of all motions approved by the PNB, by the general manager, by the EB, during the manager's meeting. So I would suggest, I'm speaking to that motion, I would suggest we pass a resolution that if this was already approved in the previous governance meeting, that we formalize it and say that the executive director will notify, will include in the decision the chair, everybody on the governance committee or the chair of the governance committee that all motions from the PNB have been communicated to the general manager. All he has to do is include the chair or the secretary of the governance committee, and then we'll get an email that he sent out to the general managers to notify them of PNB resolutions.
William for Slack.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, go ahead,
Barbara.
William.
Barbara.
Okay, Barbara. Go ahead, William.
What the governance committee can do is recommend for the PNB policies, procedures, et cetera, and any kind of motion to try to get approval from the PNB. We don't direct anybody to do anything.
Oh, okay.
It's the PNB that needs to be copied, not us. And it's the PNB that needs to then first approve this.
Okay. So we, all right, so to change anybody, okay, let's go to Barbara.
Well, I was just thinking it would be a great idea to know that, you know, there was a notification sent out, because that was the origination of the question, that a lot of the local stations weren't even aware of motions. So some type of feedback that said that we could be CC'd on that, oh, here's the information on the motion, would be a great idea and simple.
Okay, anybody else on the stack?
Michael for the stack.
Go ahead.
I've raised the point of communication from the PNB at the last meeting. I can only speak for BAI, but I got the distinct impression that a lot of the PNB's actions are not known in the BAI community. And I'm guessing it's probably the case at the other stations. So that's why I raised those concerns, and Aki made his response. And I think we should leave it at that for the time being. At this point, we just want to get the PNB to start sharing information with the larger community. And then, you know, let's see how that goes before we start making more specific recommendations to the PNB. Let's give Aki and the rest of the board a chance to communicate with the rest of us.
Okay, anybody else in the stack?
Lewis.
Okay, I just have a question for Michael. How do we know how it's going?
Aki has indicated he's going to make some communications with people at the PNB. So I want to give that a chance first. But I'd also like to see information, you know, posted on Pacifica.org or someplace that's easily accessible. But again, I just want to give Aki a chance to, you know, to do this thing first before we formalize anything.
Right. That's the other thing. Okay.
Okay, Aki, could you... anybody else on the stack? I'm just going to ask you the kind of information. Aki, how would you implement monitoring or anybody finding out what the motions were and whether or not the general managers were notified?
Well, first, what the ED says to the GM, I have to communicate that with the ED. First, LSB, I'll just email the most resolutions that were passed at the PNB to the each of the LSB, so then people will be aware that, you know, the email was sent. So that'll be the record, that, you know, there'll be an email to the LSB from the secretary of the PNB. And then for the Pacifica.org, I think that is a very good idea, because right now Pacifica.org, you know, posts all of the report out of the closed meetings. So I think in the same area, they can post their resolutions, just the resolutions, instead of searching through the KPFTX and looking at the minutes. I think the resolutions can just be posted at the Pacifica.org. So I had to work with Aldous, I guess, to see if we can do that.
Okay, so Aldous, Secretary of the PNB would post all approved resolutions somewhere on Pacifica.org.
Yeah, just like we do with the before that. So there must be a way to do that.
I can work with John on a menu on that. He can tell me how, you know, that he can do that or not.
Okay, well, if you'll... If that satisfies my demands, so I don't have the motion, then...
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a motion, but...
This doesn't have to be a motion, no. So you're going to see to posting all approved resolutions somewhere on Pacifica.org, all PNB approved resolutions.
Right, yeah, PNB approved resolutions on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see to distributing them to the entire LSB that they apply to, or all LSBs, all members of the all LSBs?
Well, you know, you have to tell me whether... Because I don't know how to... going to the LSB is probably the easiest, right? Because they should be... All of the LSB members should be aware of what the PNB passed. I think that whatever the list of the LSB members are on is the one that I should get the address of for each of the stations.
Okay. So anybody else want to contribute to this topic?
Yes. Yes,
this is Lewis.
Lewis. Yes. I just want to underline the importance of what Michael is saying. There has to be much more transparency vis-a-vis the PNB and the leadership in California to the rest of our network. And as far as I can tell, that's not the way it's working now. So I would strongly urge that we press for that. That's all I can say.
I agree.
Okay. What do we have going here? Just what Aki's going to do. He's going to take on the task of posting approved resolutions from the PNB somewhere on Pacifica.org. And
I can work with John to do that. And then I'll send the thing to each of the LSBs, the PNB resolutions. We should do that.
Well, there's a generic problem there. Do you mean you're going to send it to the secretary of the LSBs or the chairman?
No.
Or all members?
I think sending it to the LSB is probably the most efficient way to do it.
Like lsb@kpfk.org.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That would go to all the members.
Right. Yeah. The one that goes to all the members, right?
Okay. Just make sure it's not any confidential motions.
Okay. Yeah. The confidential. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good.
Okay. Any other further comments about this from any of the members of this committee? Anybody on the stack? Okay. So we're going to move forward on the agenda. 6:30. We've got an hour left. Let's start talking about the bylaws. And who wants to get on the stack to talk about the bylaws? And Aki, please keep people to 90 seconds because this is
okay.
Discussion and people tend to want to put out their whole philosophy. So let's start a queue here talking about the bylaws generally or specifically anything about bylaws changes.
Maybe could be in the stack.
Who is that? Say it again. Anybody else on the stack? Okay, let's start with Aki.
Okay, so what Masuda says is right that, you know, looking at the bylaws is a daunting task because it's, you know, many, many pages of text. But on the other hand, the area of the bylaws that really need attention are the areas that we as LSD members or PNB members notice deficiencies. You know, as we go through our meetings, we notice, so people in the PNB are best at finding out what is impeding the meetings at the PNB level, and the people at the LSB level knows the issues that are problematical at the LSB level. So I think that since not every one of us can tackle the entire project, I would suggest that people who are on the PNB, there are five of us, can within ourselves you know, come up with back and forth. We can email back and forth about kick around ideas that can be presented back to the governance committee. People on the LSP level who are interested can also do it among themselves and bring, you know, bounce ideas around and bring it back to the governance committee to be discussed. And some of the areas that I think germane, for instance, like in the in the last meeting, two people mentioned that a lot of the auditors are astonished at the fact that there are 15 people in the audit committee. And one of the things that could be proposed, for instance, would be one director from each station and one LSP member from each station. That would reduce the automatic return and still give. So those are kind of ideas that we can, people who are interested in reforming the committee structure can work on things like that. And then for the, at the local level, I think it's very important, looking at the dysfunction of all of the stations, that there are two committees that are very critical to the local governance. One is finance, where each of the stations need to keep track of where they are on a month-to-month basis, what their you know, books are doing. And the other thing that's important as a network is that we need a concerted effort to have an outreach development kind of a committee that actually is very, you know, and they can share.
Okay.
The stations can
share. All right, I'm going to off here, Aki. You're at 2.5 minutes.
Sure. Okay, that's fine.
Anything else on the stack?
Barbara?
Barbara? Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, well, you know, we were tasked with the mission to bring this to our local station board, the big picture of bylaws change, which we did have a discussion, and I just want to bring up some of the points and the areas that people were felt important to look at, and one of them we talked about was excused absences versus non-excused absences. And you know, even if you have excused absences, some folks have been, you know, taking, you know, 4 in a row or 5 in a row, and we didn't, you know, we would like to address that and put a limit to, or just put a limit to how many meetings you missed, whether they're excused or not. The other thing was something that you talked about, Aki, too, was the whole size of the board and how to maintain the ratio of staff versus listener supported. But overall, I think people felt the, you know, reducing the size of the board would be helpful in terms of process. The other thing in regards to process was the vetting, you know, of getting more folks on the board or who would run for the board. And, you know, just because you have a sterling resume doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be an effective board member, and certainly having people that understand, you know, the industry and radio would be very important, but also looking at, you know, folks' intentions and commitment, and just being on the board should also have a requirement of participating in committees so that you really are a participating member, and one of them should include a national board committee. So that was the overall discussion. I distilled it, you know, quite nicely here. So I just wanted to throw that input. So I think collecting information locally is very helpful, and I think having some other group that just kind of distills the information, not necessarily cuts it out, but just gets it down to, you know, discussion points that the whole board can really discuss more thoroughly. All right, I'm done.
Okay, thanks. 2.5 minutes. Anybody else on the queue? I heard somebody. Anybody there? Okay, Aki, can I turn the chair over to you? I want to go on the queue.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to time myself too. Wait, let me do this. Stop and reset. Okay, yes. So this is a big elephant, the bylaws, but we can polish the nails. We don't have to take the trunk off and add another row of teeth. You know, there's major changes, there's minor changes. So without getting very, very verbose, I think
I mean, I have a list of changes that me and some associates are working on, but a very simple change is to change the quorum requirement for elections from 10 to 7, because any time we fail to meet quorum in a national election when we're electing delegates means we throw away all of the money, time, and effort that we expended in running the election because we didn't get 10%. And in addition to that, we have tremendous conflicts with who stays on and who goes off because there was no election, and it's just wasted so much time and money legally and everything. So we can easily remedy that, even though in recent years some stations have gotten 15%. In the past, a lot of stations have failed. So that's a simple change. Go from 10% quorum to 7% quorum in all elections that have to deal with the membership, the full membership, which is the membership of the listener sponsors. Quorum for staff is, I think, 25%, and that can probably stay. But for the listener sponsors, it should be lower to 7. But that's, I'm just giving that as an example of a reasonable, easy change that everybody understands that has only beneficial. I mean, you know, there's always some issue, you know, some detriment, but that's a simple change. That's it. I'll take back the chair. Thank you, Aki. Anybody else on the queue?
Yes, this is Makila. I would like to.
Okay, Makila.
Yeah, I understand that, you know, some people want to limit numbers on committees, et cetera, and sometimes it can be unwieldy in certain instances. I don't think so much, because I think that we should have a board that is representative of our community. We call ourselves Pacifica. We call ourselves representing a certain portion of our community that is not necessarily represented, and I don't think that we should change that. We should represent the old, the young, black, white, Latino, and Asian, whatever. And limiting the board numbers or LSV numbers will certainly exclude somebody. And I don't think that we should do that. I mean, we're not trying to be, I don't think, like the K Street corporations that do exclude. I think that we really need to be open and make certain, of course, that the people who are voted on have a commitment to doing the work that needs to be done. But I think limiting numbers limits the viewpoint of the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else on the queue?
Lewis Wolf.
Go ahead, Lewis. What, Lewis, could you just give your last name? I'm not familiar with everybody. Lewis?
Say again? Lewis.
What's your last name, Lewis?
Wolf, W-O-L-F.
Oh, okay, Lewis Wolf. All right, go ahead. Yeah. Now I know. Go ahead, Lewis.
I feel very strongly that the strength of Pacifica is it's representing the you know, the views of people that aren't normally heard in the mainstream media or mainstream politics. We are outside of most of that. I'm assuming that applies to everyone on this call. And for us to condense our numbers is to me take away the power of our network. And at this time in our history, I mean, it's needed now more than ever that we represent those who don't have a representative. They're not members of the Congress. They're not members of city councils. For the most part, we are the other people, and that's what we have to stand up for. So I agree with what Muskila said. Thank you.
Anybody else on the queue?
Aki, this is Don to the staff.
Okay, wait. Before Aki, who was that?
Don Williams.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I'm against decreasing the members of the LSB because we got to represent the community, and I find out that it's better to have full representation on the LSB that represents the community. And that's what I have to say.
Okay, Aki?
Yeah, I think that all of the, discussion between the sides is one of those things that you can argue on each side. I think that all the arguments that were both is very legit. One thing that I do caution, though, and this is another area that I want to address, especially in the PNB, is that having a large number of people is good. But what happens, at least in the PNB, especially in the early days, is that meeting becomes totally chaotic because, some individuals will just totally dominate and basically block the other people from participating. And so you have a larger group, then it makes it even more of a problem. So I think that if you want to keep the LSD and PNB to the size that we have, I think that we need to have a more effective way to censure people who disturb meetings. Right now, it's not a very, it's not really spelled out in the bylaws. And so if we want to maintain a large representation, I think we need to have some specifics in the bylaws that specify that people who, dominate or start a meeting should have, clear ways in which to censure them so that they do not disrupt the meeting. So I concur that if you have a large meeting, I think we should also strengthen the, provision for making sure that people could not disrupt a meeting.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I want to encourage the people who haven't spoken about bylaws to contribute, like Michael and maybe Anthony Fest, if you haven't spoken on this, or PK, if she's on the call.
Okay, I can pipe up. Anthony here.
Okay, go ahead, Anthony.
Michael, for a sec.
And then Michael.
Yeah, as to size of committees, I don't know offhand if size of committees is written into the bylaws. I was, for a while, I was wondering why we haven't even have an audit committee. I mean, hiring an auditor is something that the Pacific administration needs to take care of. Then I realized it was actually written into the one of the financial reform bills that passed a few years back. So we have to have one, but there's no reason that it has to be a large committee, because basically what it's doing is selecting an auditor and a few other tasks. Those committees that go more to the nature of our mission, like programming, I guess that's where you would want large, diverse membership. But something like audit, I think, could be done by a few people with hopefully some with some special expertise.
That's what I have to say. Okay, thank you, Anthony. Michael?
Someone
else to the stack? I've got Michael. Anybody else?
Okay, go ahead, Michael. I want to continue with what Anthony was saying. I don't feel excluded from the audit committee. I'm okay with what the audit committee members are doing. But I have a problem with the general argument, because I feel like people are kind of forgetting the fact that our membership has shrunk, our audience has shrunk. It's not a matter of being excluded. It's a matter of reaching out to different communities, geographic communities, ethnic communities, different types of labor communities, and so forth. We need to expand the audience, particularly here in New York. We have pirate station numbers in the largest media market in the country. I mean, that's insane. We're talking, we need to reach out to different communities. We're talking to ourselves. So the idea that we're excluding voices, to me, doesn't make sense. We're talking to ourselves. We need to be talking to other communities, other types of people. And I'm not talking ethnic. I'm talking political. I want to hear voices from across the spectrum. That's the original mission of Pacifica. And so, you know, that's what we should be working towards. And by working, by improving the bylaws, we can make things a little bit more efficient and, you know, a little bit easier for us to reach out to these communities and grow. And by doing so, we achieve another key aim, which is money. We need money. We need members. We need the donations and membership dues that come with more members. We need to generate some excitement. You know, yeah, we're progressives, but that doesn't mean we only talk to progressives. We should be talking to everyone from communists all the way to libertarians. We should be talking to everyone, growing, get people excited about Pacifica on, you know, online and on the radio station. So that's what we should be doing. I'm not worrying about excluding it. We're not excluding anyone. Right now, we're facing a crisis of relevance. So let's kick the bylaws into the 21st century, get it fit for purpose, and we can start to grow Pacifica as a unit.
Okay, thank you. Your time's up. I just have one follow-up question. I'll indulge myself. What bylaws could we change? I totally agree with you, but what bylaws could we change that would affect expanding our scope and expanding our listenership? Is there anything we could do to the bylaws that would encourage that?
Yes, reducing size of boards, make it more efficient. Opening up the process a little bit. Getting the membership list updated. Right now, and again, I'm only speaking for BAI, but I know that other stations have outdated membership lists. We're not addressing that right now. In every election, we're having more and more problems because those damn lists are not updated. There's a lot we can do that directly affects membership, that directly affects the bottom line. There's a program evaluation process. We finally got one outside of the PNB, but it hasn't been implemented, to my knowledge. I can only speak to BAI. It has not been implemented. I've said this publicly in New York. Our program grid doesn't work. You know, I said it publicly, but no one wants to address that. Everyone thinks it's just a matter of money. So, yeah, there's a lot that we can do with changing the bylaws that directly affects the bottom line and directly affects our ability to reach out to other communities.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go to the queue in a second. I just want to inform Michael that the PNB just approved a new procedure and standards for program evaluation. It was approved by the PNB July 27th, actually. But you're correct. It doesn't matter what's passed. It matters what's implemented. Who else wants to be on the queue concerning bylaws? I didn't get that. Who was that? Well, I think I'm hearing my own echo. That's the response I'm getting. So anybody else on the queue regarding bylaws?
Well, so I'll chime in again. This is Barbara.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, so I just shared big picture information that we gathered, and I agree with several of the statements that were made here in terms of, you know, our role. And it's just that there is a lot to do, and it seems to me, in my experience on other boards, when you're smaller, you can get things in a positive way. Our volunteers, so, you know, I'm much more effective if I felt like my time is being used efficiently and that I'm making a difference. So committee structure, we did a lot of work with our board in terms of making recommendations and motions for program evaluations and, you know, criteria. That what was missing is a lot of criteria in order for us to, you know, be effective advisory boards. So that's my two cents. We have to just be more effective so we can get the business done to address the listenership and connecting with the millennials and looking at different ways to get information out there, you know, via social media and podcasts and whatever. So there's a lot to do, and you can be much more effective when you're just smaller in numbers. That's my two cents.
Okay. Anybody else on bylaws or anybody on the method of changing the bylaws. And there's one topic that nobody's discussing, which is kind of like the sacrosanct part of the bylaws, which is the mission statement. Anybody have a the mission statement can be changed. It's just a part of the bylaws. So I'm just saying that to be provocative, because I want to get more participation here. Anybody else on the queue concerning the bylaws?
I was going to say, Ken, you're pretty provocative, because that's the opposite of what you were saying with your minimal example of a minimal change for a bylaw, a mission statement.
The major, that would be the other side of it. That would
be sacred ground. Yeah, that's very
sacred ground. That's right. But we don't have to. We can go major. Like, I mean, there's precedents where organizations have changed their major mission statement, like the Mormon Church or the Catholic Church, or, you know, the major positions have been changed. Or the I'm just gonna say the Sierra Clubs and the ACLUs have expanded their initial mission from, let's say, ACLU is basically Bill of Rights, but then they expanded it to include social justice, economic justice, and the Sierra Club was just preserving. No, I'm actually thinking of Amnesty International, and they just used to be lobbying to get prisoners of conscience removed, you know, released. And they expanded it, take on economic injustice and, you know, genocide, everything political, all social justice issues. So they changed the basic nature of their organization, and which is possible. So, and that's more along the lines of, I would view it as what Michael Lachow is saying, is that we may have narrowed ourselves down into too small a public, by not taking on things which are more controversial. Anyhow, I don't need to be talking. I'm just trying to get somebody to step up here and talk about what they think we should be doing with the bylaws. Anybody else on the queue?
Michael, for the time.
Okay, Michael, anybody else who hasn't spoken? Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Since we're kind of delving into some areas that are a little sensitive, I'm going to bring up something that's been on my mind the last couple of months, and the relationship between the LSB and the management, or specifically the general manager, needs to be considered in the bylaws. Basically, the only relationship right now is the LSB can make a recommendation for hiring someone, and that's really about it. There is an evaluation, but I question the value of it. And there's no role on the other end, which is the question of whether or not to relieve the GM of his duties. So it's something that needs to be examined. I mean, I have my own ideas, but it's a pretty sensitive topic. So I'm just putting it out there that I feel if the LSBs are going to be more effective, which I think they do, then they need to have greater power over management, and that is about as far as I'll go right now.
Anybody else? Go ahead. Who's that?
That was Barbara. I just wanted to concur that overall we're just an advisory board, and that can be very frustrating at times.
Okay. Anybody else on the queue?
I'll throw it up in here.
Okay, Anthony.
Yeah, I agree with what was just said. You know, from a KPFA perspective, people elect our boards, and then we can't really do much of anything because the manager can just ignore us if he chooses. It's not a good situation.
Okay, I'm going to throw a hot iron in the fire here. What about if the LSBs approved a bonus for the GM, or didn't approve a bonus for the GM on a yearly basis? That would give more influence. Okay, anybody else on the queue?
Yeah, this is Mosky Law. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mosky Law, go ahead.
I'm
wondering, are you, when you talk about giving the LSB more say-so as far as the general manager is concerned, are you talking about taking that option from the executive director to hire and fire the general manager? Is that what you're saying when you say change? What kind of control? But I'd like to know from the people who've said that.
I have to bring up a point of information here in the sense the bylaws require the EV doesn't fire the general manager without the LSBs evaluate the general manager. If they ask for the resignation, it's to be confirmed by the ED or the PNB. And I don't really know if the GM has ED has the right to just discharge a general manager. I guess so.
This is Michael. I can answer that. I can answer that question. This is Michael.
Michael, go ahead.
Yeah. Formally, the LSB presents a pool of candidates to the executive director, and then the executive director only hires from that pool of candidates. On the other hand, the executive director can fire unilaterally. The LSB can vote to fire someone, but the executive director has to approve that. If the executive director and the LSB don't agree, then it goes to the PNB. There is an evaluation process. I question the effectiveness of the evaluation process, but there is a process in which the LSBs are supposed to evaluate general managers every year. When I say I want to change the relationship, I'm saying that because I believe that the LSBs are supposed to be the governance body in the local station area, that the LSBs should have greater powers over the general manager, including firing. So that's just my opinion, but you know, all I'm really trying to say right now is that the LSB should have a greater influence over management. It's a little sensitive, so I don't want to get too specific, but you know, if you're asking my personal opinion, you know, that's my opinion.
Okay, Michael, the only thing is hire and fire is a binary decision, and it's better to have a tool that has gradients. I'm just putting that forth. That's maybe not true in the universe, but I think it is. So is there a way that the LSB could have more influence on the general manager in a less drastic thing than hire and fire?
Our general manager hasn't really shown up at our meetings. Hasn't shown up to our finance committee meetings. And he gets away with it. The general manager is a member of the local station board, as I've reminded him several times. So he is accountable, not as a member, you know, but also as a general manager. Frankly, and again, this is just my opinion, I favor a dual key approach, where the LSB can make the ultimate call, but if they do so, then they give up their right to choose the successor. So, you know, it raises the stakes for everyone so that they start to take it more seriously and not as like a fly-by-night decision.
Okay. Anybody else on the queue?
Lewis Wolf.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Maybe somebody can clarify for me for what happened in the recent instance at KPFT where the interim executive director, as I understand it, summarily fired a couple of people. Maybe there was cause, I don't know, but that was done, and it's part of history. Can you help me understand that, please?
Just one point. You answered the question to a degree yourself. It was an interim general manager. It's not... Not a general
interim.
Okay. Anybody else on that in KPFT? We can talk about that. Anybody from KPFT wants to elucidate on that point? I think if nobody challenged what Michael said, the general, he said that the executive director can just unilaterally discharge a general manager. It doesn't need anybody's permission.
That's the case right now.
That's the way it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I want to remind everybody that we're living in times where you're subject to major changes of legislation or, you know, implementation of procedures like Brexit or like DACA. You know, things change. So we can change things. We don't have to keep doing things. And I don't want to keep talking. If we've been losing listeners and losing income, we do need to change something. Otherwise, it's predictable that we will continue to lose listeners and income until we go out of existence, not with a bang, but a whimper. So change is indicated. Anybody else on the queue, please?
Yes, Maskila.
Maskila.
Maskila. Maskila.
Okay.
That's how you pronounce my name, Maskila.
Maskila. I apologize. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not that good at language. Maskila.
Oh, I'm from Manhattan, and I know how to do it. Okay? Okay. I don't think that losing people and money have anything to do with necessarily how we vote in or say whatever, the general manager. The loss of revenue has to do with what kind of programming we're doing, okay? And so, yes, the general manager supervises the program director. I agree with that. But I don't think that summarily firing or hiring GMs is a way to make money, okay? We have to look at what kinds of outreach, as someone said, we're doing, the entire community, and we need to look at programming, all right? I made some suggestions for programming. It's not so relevant right now. I made some suggestions. Yes, it is maybe relevant. I made some suggestions to the PNB about programming. Nothing happened. This is programming that might have been able to bring in some additional revenue. But again, you know, as I said, so if people are not willing to listen and hear what other people are saying, whether you agree with their philosophy or not, there are instances where you might be able to get some positive headway by paying attention to what certain people are saying, whether you agree with them politically or not, okay? So part of the problem, and you all know that, what we call factions. And if the faction does not want to allow the other... Listen. If one group does not want to allow one group to have any leeway or headway or make a suggestion that is accepted, then the suggestions die. And that should not be the way a corporation, and I think we are, aren't we? I don't think that is the way a corporation or a community space should function. We should function for the good of everyone, not just a particular group.
Thank you. Next on the queue, anybody? Okay, let's go around once more. Anybody who hasn't spoken on bylaws want to make any kind of a statement at all? Anybody want to make a suggestion about forwarding, calling ideas from the LSBs on bylaws changes?
Aki, to the...
Okay, Aki.
I'll let somebody speak first. I just want to have like a summary. So, was it Barbara?
Yeah, it was Barbara. I think we're having quite a discussion, and I think, you know, we should move forward with something, either gathering more information or... But it is a big project, so how, you know, do we identify the, you know, like you suggested in your minutes, you know, the three key items that's important to you, and then, start with that. But, you know, I think we need to move forward with some type of action right now.
Okay. I can make a suggestion on that. Aki, did you want to... You want the floor?
Sure. Yeah, I can make a summary. So the initial call for all the ideas didn't strike gold, but I'm sure that people do have ideas. And I suggest that you submit them to me, and then I will also summarize all the points that were made today, and I'll have a document. It's sort of like using the vitals as a base, but then adding all of these changes or deletions or expansion in the vitals that I can put in a color better, like red or something. And then we can have a document that everybody has at all at once, and you can keep adding to it, and as you add to it, I modify it, and I'll keep resending it back to everybody. So you have a working document, and then that way, you know, nobody has to feel like they have to come up with, each individual has to come up with an entire idea of how to change the vital, that you can add whatever piece you want, and then you'll be reflected in that document. So I think that'd be the process by which, you know, we can all be tuned into the same thing. Anyway, that's my suggestion.
Okay, Aki.
Sounds great. I think that sounds great.
That's good. That sounds like Barbara. That's what I was going to suggest. Anyway, I concur. Anybody else? Okay, so we're going to be bringing this meeting to a close. There's nothing wrong with ending early. And what we're going to do is everybody on this committee can submit recommended changes in the bylaws. Please denote them by the existing bylaws in terms of article and section. And you know, write them out. Don't back off because you don't have a law degree or something. Just write them in English, and submit them. And you know, and we'll keep track, and we'll see if we get some bright ideas that we can concur and forward to the members for changes. So good. Unless somebody else wants to speak, I'm going to end this meeting. I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn. Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion, Barbara.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, there we go. So we're getting off for easy today. So
okay.
Any objections to adjourning this meeting at this time? Okay. See you all on October 17th. Thank you,
people.
Good night.
Thank you. In the email. I'll see you in the email. Bye.
Yep.